Welcome to the 12-Step Recovery Evolution podcast. Visit recoveryevolution.co.uk for more episodes, helpful resources and links to our social media. Also visit the site for information on how you can attend a future Zoom session or workshop live. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Can you hear me properly? It's quite windy here. You can? Okay, brilliant. So thank you everyone for being here. Thank you, Fox, for taking the Zoom meeting. And thank you, Lester, for asking me to share. I shared a few weeks ago on my relationship to God, and today I'm sharing about creative amends, I think is the heading of it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the carnage I caused in my addiction. So basically, when I was 17, I got involved in a really sick, dysfunctional relationship. And I knew he was a druggie in the local Wrongham, but I was really attracted to that. I got with him, and within sort of 6 months, I was injecting heroin. And I was at work one day. I worked in a little potato factory part-time, and I got a phone call from my mum saying, "Can you come straight home from work?" And I did, and when I got there, she was sat there with my auntie and my uncle, and it was like an intervention. And basically, my little brother had been through my drawers. He was only, he was really young, probably about 12 years old. He'd been through my drawers and found a load of needles. So now my mum sort of knew I was a heroin addict, and she was crying her eyes out. She was blaming herself. What did I do to deserve this? And I tried to reassure her, you know, it's not your fault, it's my fault, and I won't ever use again, and I promise I'll stop and that. And obviously I didn't, I just got started. So basically I was living with her and my stepdad. Her house used to get raided all the time. She used to get calls from the police saying I'd been arrested because I was shoplifting all the time to support my habit. And I remember saying to Sonia once, I never stole from my mum. And she went to me, why did you say that? Because you stole her peace of mind. And she was absolutely right. And that sort of thing is priceless. She used to say to me that basically she's been awake all night thinking that she's going to get a call from the police saying I'm dead or I've been raped or something like that. So, and she used to move me into different houses and think that that will keep me clean. And she'd say, right, don't use in this house, blah, blah, blah. And within a week, I turned the house into the local drop-in centre for addicts and alcoholics to come and use. And I ended up prostituting myself in these places. She came to see me in prison. That was really emotional for her to come up and see. Can you imagine, like, coming up and seeing your 21-year-old daughter in prison where Myra Hindley and loads of other really naughty people are there, and you see your little daughter there? And I just cried my eyes out. I couldn't believe my life had got to this. And if I knew then what I knew now about recovery, I would have got into recovery, but I'd never heard of recovery or AA or anything. And I didn't just harm her. I harmed all of my family. My nieces, they'd come and see me and they'd be looking at me in disgust. I'd be in a dressing gown that was covered in blood from me injecting. I'd have abscesses all over me and I was a complete state. And they just basically looked at me in disgust. And I basically harmed most people I came into contact with. I'd see people and my thought was, what can I get from this person all the time? What have you got to give me? And after sort of 20 years of complete and utter hell, I was addicted to everything, basically, really heavily addicted to diazepam. I was drinking a litre and a half of vodka every day, wishing that I was dead. And after 20 years of that, I asked for help and I went to my local drug agency, and they got me into ECR. And when I come to ECR, like I said, I knew nothing of steps, of AA. They gave me a book and I've done a really long, painful, drawn-out detox, and I was coming off so many diazepam. I remember having key work with Steve and him talking to me about the steps and that, and I remember looking at him saying, "Steve, I can't understand a word of what you're saying." And I'd look at people and they'd all be connecting and laughing, and I remember just feeling like an absolute cavewoman. But I went through the process of it all anyway, and basically, I got to the amends process and I put it off for such a long time. My mum used to come up and visit me and I remember saying, right, I'm going to do it this time. And I bottle it every single time. And everyone else was progressing, like, spiritually and mentally. And I stayed the same. Like, I had no self-esteem. I just used to look at the floor every time. Couldn't look people in the eye. Couldn't connect with people. And after a while, I got the courage and I said to my mum, I really, really regret what I've done and my behaviour. And she just looked at me and she said, Louise, it's okay, I know you and I know you're sorry. And basically there was, this is really uncomfortable for me to talk about because I don't think I've ever said this in any of my shares before. I don't know why, I just sort of tried to keep it hidden, but there was still something there. And basically it's when I used to live with her, my stepdad, he sort of abused me, and I spoke to Sonia about it and I was crying my eyes out, and she said to me, you need to talk to your mum and tell her it's not right. And it, and other than my detox, this was one of the most painful, hard things that I've done. And I phoned her and I said, mum, what he done really affected me and it's not normal. And I'll never, ever be coming home again. And if you want to see me, you've got to come up here and see me. And I remember for like a couple of weeks, I sort of resented Sonia for getting me to do it. And I regretted speaking to her about it. And then after a couple of weeks, she came up and she brought all my nephews and nieces up with her. And our relationship today, because I got the courage and, you know, I did regret the way I treated her, but we needed to clear the air. And I'm so glad today that I've done that because our relationship, I find out every day, she comes up here to see me and my nieces. But also, I regret my behaviour, don't cut it either, because my auntie basically texted me and we were talking about my brother and I said that was so painful to go through that. Like, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And she said, Louise, we went through that every single day for 20 years with you, thinking you were going to die or... you know, all this sort of stuff. And it just hit me. I was like, oh my God, wow. I can't imagine going through that for like more than sort of a day, let alone 20 years. So now I'm really supportive to my mum and to all of my family. I've done my amends to my other family members and some of them would say, you don't need to, don't worry about it. And I'd be like, no, I really, really do. But basically, because I've been baptised, when my brother was nearly dying, my mum phoned me and she said, your brother's going to die. You need to get all of your people praying for your brother. And the fact that she trusted me with that and could rely on me with something like that. And I did. And I believe that was like a sort of divine intervention, if that's the right word, for me to stand and pray for my brother and get all these people praying for my brother. And I really believe that that got him well. And, sorry, I've got some notes. And with my amends to the police, I believed that I didn't owe them amends. And then as I started waking up a bit, I'd see them at work and I'd think, do you know what? They do a really good job and they've got a really hard job. So I spoke to them and I said, I appreciate everything you do. And if there's anything that I can ever do for you guys, then please let me know. And they didn't get back to me, but I did that anyway. I cleared up my side of the street. And I really believe that my amends have not just kept me clean and sober, but I believe they've given me a better quality of life. I'm free. I feel, since doing my amends, I feel so freer. I can look people in the eye. I can connect with people. And my amends to myself, basically, when I was in addiction, I didn't know how to look after myself. And I really believe that my recovery is an amends to myself. And I look after myself. I care for myself. And I believe that helping others is also amends, because I used to see people and I think, what can I get from you? Now when I see people, I think, how can I help? I don't always think like that, but I try and practice that principle in my life. And yeah, basically, if you want to stay sober, if you want the freedom, then get through your amends and don't put them off like I did, because it's all just all the fear of that, it's all just balls, if you don't mind me saying. But yeah, I'm gonna leave it there. We'll be right back.